stretch run of Grant and Danny with you until 6:30 on The Fan. We've got a football team in this town with a bright future. It's time for you to plan yours as well. The exclusive sponsor of this show will help, the law firm Condori & Murad. They will update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Earl in the update just mentioned the passing of Pat Fisher, the 84-year-old, three-time Pro Bowler and a former All-Pro with Washington. He was a Redskin from 1968 to 1977. He was a beloved player. My mom's favorite player, actually. Like I, to this day, remember, he's number 37, because my mom used to talk about him all the time. My mom was born late 50s, so she would have been, you know, in the teens, I guess-ish, maybe early 20s, when he was doing some of his best work for Washington, and that's a fond, really happy memory for her, is him laying the lumber. But I texted her, or called her today, and said, you know, I don't know if you heard this, but she said, oh, one of the hardest hitters, just like all heart. I think players that liked that team, that era, fans, rather. Like, he's the player that would stand out, or one of them that you just can't not love how he played.
It sort of typified what it meant, right? Just the you know, maybe a bit undersized and maybe a step slower than some, but it's all guts and effort and hard hits. And that guy was a freight train downhill. My dad, he was one of my dad's favorite players, too. My dad loved Sonny Jurgensen, right around that same era.
That was my mom's wheelhouse, too. Yeah, I used to tell you, my mom, every time, they'd be down, like, by 15 points when I was a kid or any time in my life.
And three words would come up.
She's like,
Sonny could do it. Exactly. Actually, I guess it's four.
It's four words, but yeah. Sonny would do it. Sonny could do it. Sonny. I'm like, Sonny's not walking through that door. They're going to lose.
Sonny's up in the booth talking about it.
He's talking with Frank and Sam. Mike Clary, I believe, weighed in as well. Ryan's pops with a little Pat Fisher take.
He did. And I texted him. I was like, hey, like, Pat Fisher passed away. I knew it was one of his favorite players. I do believe he owned the Vienna Inn also, which I
owned it.
I believe he owned it. I want to say my dad would know. He did not comment on that earlier on, but I did consume a lot of chili dogs.
Let's check
there.
Sources on that.
I will. But he did say this, pound for pound, one of the hardest hitters. One note, I believe he was Ron McDowell's godfather as well. He was a great player.
That's from Mike Clary.
That was from Mike Clary.
I didn't know he was Ron McDowell's godfather, who made a couple Pro Bowls in his own right, was a champion here in D.C. While we have Ryan Clary, before he gets back to work, would you mind firing up a little music for me, Darius? That would get Ryan in the mood to explain some things to us. That's right. Big week on the Grant and Danny radio program. And an awesome show today. Austin Eckler killed it. Tomorrow, we got Will Montgomery with a detailed O-line breakdown. I asked him to study the film on Biotish and Allegretti and how the guys are faring up front, what he sees from Brandon Coleman. So good O-line breakdown from Montgomery tomorrow at 3, the former center here in D.C. And we'll have Steve Mariucci on the show at 6 o'clock. I am
well, pumped. Mooch action.
Mooch is one of my favorite guys in football. Love him. We've never had him on the show, I don't think. Maybe a Radio Row at some point.
I think we did Radio Row one time.
Yeah. I don't even know if I count that. It's like a car wash. We like him and like 30 other people interview him that day.
He's like, I want to sit down and tell you about Kay Jewelers. I'm like, no, but the Super Bowl.
But also, let's talk about football.
Yeah.
So he'll be on the show with us tomorrow. It's that kind of time in D.C. when the analysts, they're just, we're beating them away with a stick. Lewis Riddick begged us to come on today.
He's like, please.
Steve Mariucci was like, guys, I know you want to have other people on, but why not me? Anyway, we need that music again. Sorry, I talked too long. Mm-hmm. Ryan, have I told you guys that tomorrow we're going to have Steve Mariucci on the show?
Mooch.
Come on, I'm kidding.
Come on, having fun.
Clary, hurricanes, how do they happen?
This is actually a very fascinating answer. With, as you know, I am the show meteorologist after all. I've been the show meteorologist the last 2 years, so this will be an easy one to explain.
Despite bits along the way, he is the show meteorologist.
The show meteorologist. Yep. So this happens in the Atlantic, like basically per ocean, like in the Pacific Ocean, it's a typhoon. I don't really know why. They're all kind of the same thing, a typhoon and a hurricane. The hurricane's for the Atlantic, and so that's why we are here in the United States in the Southeast region here, but it's basically,
that's why we're here, because of hurricanes in the Atlantic.
That's why we're here in the Atlantic, and we're talking about hurricanes.
That's the reason we're here.
That's the reason why we are here.
But if not for hurricanes, to be clear, we would not be here.
We would not be here without hurricanes. Okay. That is correct. So it is warmer water, kind of down towards the Bermuda, the Bahamas area as well, kind of near that area as well,
mm-hmm.
where
as well.
It's warmer water that just kind of sits there, and weather systems kind of churn up there easily.
Yep.
And the water just sits there.
Yes, the water does sit there. It is the ocean. And so what happens is, with the warmer water comes very bad weather systems.
Right.
And when those weather systems...
There's a big step in there somewhere.
I thought he was killing it for a little while. All right.
Now the ocean's just sitting still the whole time? I feel like that water's moving a little bit, man.
The ocean does move.
Yeah.
There are some tides there.
There's some tides there.
So like a current, maybe.
There's a current. No, that doesn't have any effect on hurricanes.
No effect.
No effect on hurricanes. Mm-hmm. I can confirm
but
that.
But it's just the weather systems.
No, it's warmer water that then kind of just churn up these weather systems.
They churn up the weather systems.
And...
So the water heats to a certain temperature and it begins?
No. So here's one thing that science, or at least the meteorology school that I went to back in the day, that they don't really want to tell you.
They call that Falls Church High School, home of the Jaguars.
That's true.
Yeah.
They don't tell you this part.
Mm-mm.
You ever heard of the saying, God take the wheel? I think that.
I haven't, actually.
Well, God takes wheel in hurricanes, I think.
Okay.
And I think that is how these are turned up. Because I don't know how these hurricanes come out of nowhere to be.
So your scientific explanation, to be clear, is
God takes a wheel.
God takes it over.
It's not a typhoon. This is why we're here in the Atlantic. The water's there, and then God takes the wheel.
God takes
the
wheel.
Those are your four steps for hurricanes.
What is the Coriolis effect?
I'd have to look back at my textbook at that point.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's where Oregon State plays, right?
Yeah, that is a great one.
Seriously, though, explain that. Please fire up the music for us, Darius, if you don't mind. As a meteorologist of your stature, you're well aware of.
You and Doug Cameron go to the meteorology
meetings. Coriolis effect and the effect that it would have on a hurricane. So go ahead and tell us about a Coriolis effect.
A Coriolis effect is basically just when it's warm water that takes over in the Atlantic, and then all of a sudden it just churns up a big hurricane.
It churns it up. That itself is the effect?
That itself is the effect.
Now, let me ask you this. What about the Gulf of Mexico? That's not the Atlantic.
No, but it's connected with it. Connected. So it kind of coincides with the Atlantic there.
Wind speeds? Anything we need to know about wind speeds? We haven't mentioned wind at all, really.
Well, there's hurricane force winds. And so it gets to the point where it is a hurricane. And that's where you'll see kind of more in the inner bands of a hurricane that it's kind of the worst part of it. So it's right outside the eye there. That is the part where you don't want to
be in the eye, or you don't want to be in the eye?
Well... No, because if you do go through the eye, which the eye will inevitably go through Tampa, unfortunately, they will get the bulk of it because they're getting both sides of the hurricane there. So they're going to have two different levels of hurricane force winds. But in that eye, there's no rain and there's no wind there. It is calm.
Wow.
Mm. But the reason what makes this storm so special is that I believe there's only a 4-mile radius of this eye, which is very small compared to other major hurricanes.
Interesting.
That just come because the water's there.
The water is there.
Warm the water is resting.
Warm water's there.
And it's warm.
Warm water.
I've swum in warm water on my vacation before in the summer.
And you were a precursor to a hurricane.
And I was like, oh my God, there's going to be a hurricane because it's like
warm
it's
water.
Warm.
It's warm water.
So the Coriolis effect is really the churn. Yeah, oh, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, around 75, 80 degrees, I believe.
So why doesn't urine turn into a hurricane?
Well, because it's not a big enough body of water. Got to be in an ocean.
So if I had a big enough bath, eventually it would churn because the Coriolis effect.
If it's big enough as the Atlantic Ocean, yeah, good.
Or the Gulf. Yeah.
So it's just warm up water.
Warm up the water
in a big old pool,
and you get it.
It's a low pressure system, I believe, is what it's.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
If you had any questions, you don't anymore.
Solved.
Next time, all you teachers out there want to teach your students about hurricanes.
He's available for guest lectures.
Just find that audio, and they'll ace that SOL test.
They will be SOL.
I do want to say, while I swallow my smile for a second, we're thinking about our friends in Florida.
Yes, indeed.
That is a serious situation. We bring up hurricanes because they're in the news. They're everywhere the last 2 weeks, but it sounds like a really scary situation.
Yeah, this one, I mean, they're all Tampa. Scary. This is especially so, apparently. This is as nasty as they come.
I saw it restructured to a Category 5.
Mm-hmm.
Grew again today. So very, very scary, and we'll think about folks that we know and those that we don't in the Tampa, Florida area. Hopefully everyone down there just gets out of there.
Yep.
I don't understand. It's easy for me to say, not having been in that situation, but I cannot relate to someone who doesn't evacuate if they have the means and ability to. I get that sometimes you're not able to, and that's brutal. But there are plenty of people that are told, like, hey, this is going to be bad. You got to leave. And they go, nope, I'm going to be fine. And I'm not casting aspersions as much as I'm saying I have a very different personality where I am afraid and I have a little thing called anxiety. And when someone tells me to do something, I do it as soon as possible. I don't know, like, where are you on that? Because it's your home. You don't want to leave. You don't want to be inconvenienced. There's a chance that maybe everything's just going to be okay.
There's a skepticism sometimes. It's like, it's not going to be as bad as they say. I think that happens a lot. I know that would happen to, you know, my grandparents were, they were down there some years ago. Never, it seems, luckily for a hurricane. But they would always go, I'm at this time, I'm like 79, I'm 80 years old. They've been telling me this is doomsday every day on the news for however many years, right? Everything is the end. Can apples kill you? Are peaches trying to steal your soul? Like they've dealt with nothing but these alarmist stories forever, so they don't believe anything. I'm not saying I agree. I'm just saying I think that's the pathology in some cases.
We will get back to the calls on the Commanders and the Ravens before we say goodbye. We've also still got to tell you who's getting sent home and who's getting immunity in Commander Survivor. But let's spin you around the NFL. Week 5 is in the books as of Monday Night Football last night. Give you some things that we think. Danny, I'll start. I think the Vikings are for real. They had a Sam Darnold dud. They had an offensive regression in the second half, and they still found a way to win. They are excellent defensively. They are good on special teams. They beat the Jets 23-17 to get to 5-0. They have trailed for less than 3 minutes of football through 5 games. They play, I believe, 3 teams the rest of the way that have 500 records at this point. Minnesota's not going away. They are going to be a playoff team.
I think it's happening, the regression for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can't just not score ever on offense and have a winning record. I know their defense is great, and it still is. Their defense is awesome. It's probably, in my opinion, the best defense in the NFL. They do everything. But that offense stinks, and it's going to come back and haunt you. They've lost 2 straight because of it.
I think Caleb Williams is figuring it out a little bit. The Bears' offense is looking up week by week. He's getting better week by week. He had his best game. Did you see him at all?
Yes, I did. Yeah,
lit it up. 20 of 29, 304, 2 touchdowns. Very, very sharp outing for the rookie quarterback.
I think if you were going to get some of the best teams in the NFL, you might be missing your chance. Looking at teams like Kansas City, teams like Houston, who haven't played their best football just yet and are a combined 9-1 with things starting to roll downhill, right? That avalanche is going to start going, boulders, and the whole thing is going to fall. They look really, 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 really okay with great records with their best football yet to come.
I think I have a new favorite quarterback to watch in the NFL. C.J. Stroud. I think C.J. Stroud is my guy. I'm not saying he's better than Mahomes or Burrow or Allen or whatever, but I love C.J. Stroud. I saw him do an interview with Pat McAfee today. He is just so likable. Everything he's done since he got to Houston has been professional and kind of by the book. He seems like just a genuinely good human being. He's a great player. He's my kind of guy living in the pocket, making big boy throws. I am a C.J. Stroud mark. He might be my favorite quarterback.
Well, remember, his Wonderlic score wasn't that great. So do you think he'll ever be any good?
Well, it was S2 testing. What was the bad thing? I think was the issue.
Yeah, so I guess he can't play. So don't even worry about it. Don't even bother watching him. I don't quite get Green Bay as a thing, I think. They're good. They're 3-2. They survived not having Jordan Love. They played Minnesota really competitively last week. Made that one really close. They've only won by more than one score once against a really bad Tennessee team. I kind of don't understand them just yet. They're 3-2. They're going to keep getting better, but I don't know that they're good yet, but I feel like they're good. Did that make any sense? I know that it probably didn't, but I don't quite understand them.
I think. It is weird to me how some coach-quarterback interactions are taken differently than others. Bo Nix and Sean Payton were basically separated for screaming at each other on the sideline. And it turned into this, look at this father and son that love each other so much story. Bo Nix, he's so such a leader, such a veteran already, yelling at his coach. Like, can you imagine if there were just other guys around the league where if that's Justin Fields and Tomlin or, I don't know, some other situation, like Antonio Pierce and Gardner Minshew or something. It's just funny to me how we take some of these. I thought Bo Nix played really well for Denver, by the way. 19 of 27, 206, and a pair of scores this past week. But if you didn't see it, he had this exchange with Peyton on the sideline where they're getting after each other. And it was taken as this fun thing. And I'm like, that's kind of weird how that works.
I think the Chargers and Broncos are going to be playing meaningful football games. We didn't think that maybe a few weeks ago. The Chargers are 2-2. They just had their bye week. Nothing special there. They lost a game to Pittsburgh when Justin Herbert left with injury. They lost by a score to Kansas City, where had a lead in that game, were pretty competitive. They couldn't really move the football and score that well. But Denver's now 3-2. Don't look now, but I think they're going to be playing meaningful football games.
I think. He'll never get credit for it because everyone hates his guts. Daniel Jones is playing pretty well right now. Did not have Malik Nabers this past weekend. Threw for 257 and two touchdowns. Lit it up with Darius Slay through the air. Think about that. His receivers that were catching passes in this game were Darius Slayton, E. Gray, whoever that is. I think it's a running back out of the backfield.
Earl Gray.
I'm trying to think of who else caught balls. Wandell Robinson definitely did. Tyrone Tracy. They didn't have their running back. They didn't have their number one wide receiver. They scored 29 points in a win, and Jones didn't turn the ball over. He's playing pretty well the last month.
I think. San Francisco, every once in a while, most of the time, it's basically 12-5, 13-4, really, really good, right? Every once in a while, they have that injury riddled, nothing seems to be right, they can't get going, 6-10 kind of a season. And we give them benefit of the doubt because they've earned it. Again, when they're healthy and right, they go to the conference championship, if not the Super Bowl. They've been to two in the last 5 years, four conference title games at least in the last 5 years as well. This is starting to feel a little bit like one of those 6-10 kind of teams where they just can't get going for some reason. And the longer it feels like it's just a weird aberration, it becomes more of a trend.
Those are some things we think around the NFL. We think the Commanders have a gargantuan game against the Ravens coming up on Sunday in Baltimore. We're getting your first thoughts. G is in Arlington. What's up, G? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I apologize for the noise in the background. I think it's 24-17 Commanders. I think the pass rush is going to get after Lamar. And I just want to say that not only are the players responding well to the good coaching, we have a dynamite front office now. We have a winning team again.
Thanks, buddy.
Love it. Appreciate you, dude.
I mean, he went all the way to the score. Forget first feel. Here's what I do know. There should be a ton of confidence right now in the ownership group because they have done a good job to this point. In the front office, because they have done a good job at this to this point. In the quarterback, who has been outstanding to this point. And almost every phase of the operation, other than maybe the defensive side of the ball, and even that's improving mightily.
Yeah, I'd say the coaching staff's been pretty damn impressive to me, too.
Yep.
That's all the phases you can be good in, they're good in. Gives you a chance every week. Funny how that works, right?
Weird how you're 4-1.
Yeah.
It's also funny how four straight wins makes you feel, too, sometimes.
Yeah.
Now, these are different because these are dominant blowout wins. Let's go to Mike and Clinton on Grant and Danny. What's up?
What's up? You know, Mike and Clinton. Hey, look, we going up Baltimore this weekend, and we going to – the score ain't even going to be as close as y'all think. Everybody talking about on the Junkies, B. Mitch and Finley, how we going to stop Baltimore. How Baltimore going to stop us? It's a storm that's forming here. How sellout, how Jersey's selling out. The what you call that? The we 155 on scoring. We the best in the league. See, people don't even know the storm is coming around the area. You can feel it. And they don't even know the storm name. But I'm going to tell you the storm name. The storm name is Hurricane Leroy. Leroy is here.
Why Leroy?
Who's Leroy?
Baltimore.
Who is Leroy?
Leroy. This the storm is about to take over the NFL.
But
and
why Leroy?
About it, so I'm going to call back because I can feel it. Leroy, right. A name you never heard. Leroy, that name you got to feel. Leroy is coming with passion. Leroy is coming to take over this town. And when we go up there and win, and the key to winning is, I think we do better on quarterbacks that don't pick us out the pocket.
Right, but why so Leroy? I want to go back to Leroy.
Leroy is my great-granddaddy I never met. And I can feel him. He can feel me. He going to come over the team, man, I'm trying to tell you.
Okay.
They're going to come over the team, and we're going to come back to this. I'm going to call y'all back. It's my first time getting in. Thank you for taking
the
call.
Well, thank you. But you don't want to go with, like, Hurricane Jaden or Hurricane.
No, it's Hurricane Leroy.
Leroy.
The name Leroy is a bad man, and nobody sees it coming. It's a freight train coming. Ain't nobody going to stop it. Everybody thinking it's going to be close. But I'm going to tell you the score. We won 2 weeks ago by 28, won this week by 21. This one may be worse.
Wow.
It's just coming.
Because of the storm.
The storm, Leroy.
Leroy.
The storm, Leroy. Leroy.
Say it slow. Leroy.
Leroy. How do you spell it?
Coming, and we're going to L-E-R-O-O-O-Y.
Several O's.
So there's only one E? that doesn't spell.
It's almost like the French style, like Leroy.
So it's like
one E. You gotta have one E because you want to say Roy.
Okay, so do it again. Sorry,
Leroy.
But it's only one E. But
Roy come one E.
I'm having a tough time with this.
Three O's and a Y.
So
when Leroy hit that stadium, everybody think it'll be close. It's not gonna be close. It's not gonna be close.
Leroy.
We can do better against quarterback.
You're doing it.
We do better. Recently in the past, a mobile quarterback messes up. But some reason right now.
I'm going to give you one more chance, though. Let's spell it differently. How do you want to spell it?
Leroy. We can put a double E in it to make it a lower Lee, but you got to have a Roy.
Okay, like so the Roy,
Roy is the emphasis.
So why don't we do this? L, two little E's, and then capital R-O-Y, Roy, like Leroy.
Okay. So Leroy is coming. And when they hit that stadium up in Baltimore, that Baltimore-Washington Parkway, how we going up that thing and represent, it's over. It's not going to be a close game as everybody thinks. I got 28-30-point win.
Wow.
30-point win? Can you imagine if they go up to Baltimore and just Leroy the hell out of them?
I mean, if they Leroy the Ravens by 30 points, we need to just make sure.
They're Leroy and everybody.
The shirt should say Leroy with a 1E. I mean, they Leroy'd the Cardinals on the road. They Leroy'd the Browns at home. They used to get Leroy'd all the time. I remember going to – you remember the game at where LaRon Landry was jawing with DeSean Jackson before kickoff?
Of course. He got Leroy Jenkins in
that
game.
And then on the first play, he got Leroy'd for an 88-yard touchdown to the crib. And then they Leroy'd him for four straight quarters. Washington used to always –
Albert Hainsworth Leroy'd right on the ground.
Now we're the only Leroy's. Let's go to Jay in South Riding. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, listen. So the Leroy, the Leroy Hurricane, Leroy.
Hurricane Leroy,
is the last dragon. That was his name when the brother got the golden juice and he became Bruce Lee, and his name was Leroy. That was the last dragon. That is Hurricane Leroy. If you know, you know. If you don't, you don't, and that's okay. But
do you know?
Check out the movie The Last Dragon.
That is an old school mid-80s movie when things were different. But I remember the reference that the guy at the end. Yeah. He turned I don't even know where to go from there. I'm so bewildered by this whole Leroy thing.
I have been kind of confused for several minutes, but Jay's my guy. I like that you connected the dots for us as best as you could. It is time to figure out who's getting booted off the island, who's getting immunity right now. Commander's Survivor. Let's see first who's getting immunity. Brian Robinson had immunity going into this week, so he can't get it again after two rushing touchdowns. Darius, who do we have?
I believe this gentleman says at the end of his chants, Ric Flair, give me two claps. Frankie Louvu gets immunity this week. Congratulations to our, hopefully you'll probably get Defense Player of the Week at this point.
Got a chance. 2.5 sacks. A
lot of big old numbers in those categories.
And a forced fumble recovery. It's give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
Oh, there we go. I botched it. I'm sorry.
The two claps, and then you go, whoo, like Ric Flair used to.
There we go. I'll never botch that again, I promise.
Don't you worry about a thing. Ryan Clary. So, who is getting sent home?
Who's getting Leroy'd here?
Gosh. Sorry, that threw me off there.
Threw you off.
Zach Ertz will be the one booted off the island this
week. Oh,
no. He is gone.
People have gotten tired of the getting exactly what's there. No yards after the catch, putting a couple balls on the carpet. They weren't happy.
Yeah, a few balls should have been caught this past week that were not.
Replay assistance couldn't save him on Commander Survivor.
Yeah.
Big, big thanks to all of you for listening today. It's been a great show. Louis Riddick was fantastic. Podcast that. Austin Eckler was tremendous. Podcast that. John Carlson was terrific. Podcast that. Tomorrow's show should be really good. We'll get a deep breakdown on the O-line from Will Montgomery at 3. We've got Steve Mariucci to talk Jaden Daniels, Commanders, NFL, Ravens matchup at 6 o'clock. Should be a really good Wednesday program.
We're going to have a whole lot of fun. And everything's fun, by the way, when the team is 4-1 and good. It's fun to come to work, dude.
I could get used to this. For Darius and Ryan, Grant and Danny, saying so long, and also Leroy.
Thank you for coming.